Tall, dark, and handsome. And now I am so pleased to welcome our next guest back to the show, because we haven't seen Thomas Gagliano in years and years, it feels like. He's an author, a life coach, and an addiction specialist. You've seen him all over the TV. His book, The Problem Was Me, How to End Negative Self-Talk and Take Your Life to a New Level, with Dr. Abraham Twersky, explores how we sabotage the happiness in our lives simply because we are so afraid of intimacy. Not me. Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, which is my favorite book title of all time. And I'm so thrilled you're here.
Thank you.
It seems like every time you come back, Thomas, it's something that I'm grappling with as a horrible parent. And today we're talking about the babysitters we welcome into our homes to raise our children for us, or screens.
Yep.
Let's start off with, or also bots. I'm at this point now where my child and Alexa are having this really great relationship together. He tells her what to play, and she says they don't understand you, and they go back and forth, and I can go up and get stuff done. How in the course of your work, how much do you deal with parents who are terrified of both the prevalence of screens in their kids' life and the prevalence now of talking bots?
Not enough. Not enough parents are afraid of that. And that's what's really unfortunate, because what happens is, with a lot of parents that are working now, it becomes so easy to just leave your kid with a bots and Alexa and just allow them to take over some of the parental roles. Mm-hmm. It becomes so easy to do. And I mean, I started to read about how some parents are actually wanting to set these things up as babysitters.
Yes.
I mean, like, this is my babysitter. And, you know, yeah, it's a wealth of knowledge. It's some good stuff you get out of that. But
I'm sorry, I'm really like behind the times. What is Alexa?
Alexa is Amazon's smart speaker. It's a voice bot. And once it's hooked up, we have one, and it's amazing. Usually, we just ask it to play music and tell us what the weather is on any given day.
Beautiful.
Or, Alexa, let me hear cow sounds. I mean, whatever you ask it, it'll tell you. It's like having a talking encyclopedia bot right there. Mm-hmm. And the kid all day is telling Alexa what it should play. Yeah. For me, it's like, with screens, I was always telling you in the break, I was very limiting. I would say, you get all your chores done, 5 minutes on the iPad. But with this, it's there all the time. And here's some stats I looked up in advance of your visit, sir. In just 2+ years on the market, 43 million Americans, 18% of the adult population owns a smart speaker. That's why every time I say, Alexa, play Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up, everybody listening to this show with an Alexa has to hear that fucking song now. Surprisingly, smart speaker use increases with the length of time one owns the device, and 50% of owners have bought more than one. Another, maybe the TV, smart speakers might be the most widely used consumer technology ever devised. 73% of owners report their kids living at home make use of their Amazon Alexa or Google Home unit, and smart speakers are stealing time from other media. 45% are listening to less radio, 38% are using their smartphones less, 32% are reading fewer magazines and newspapers, and 29% are watching less TV. And I can see why that's appealing. I like being able to say, hey, Alexa, play NPR right now.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the upsides and downsides in your practice, Thomas, about leaving your kids around a voice bot?
Well, I think what the problem we have nowadays is, even at a young age, 5-year-olds, the endorphins in their brain, the chemicals are getting triggered just by a text sound or a message.
Notifications.
Mm-hmm. Notification.
Yeah.
So they're becoming addicted just to the screen.
There's
the
a
sound.
Treat.
And what's happening is less and less kids are growing up knowing how to have conversations. They don't know how to have personal conversations to talk. And here's what's scary, what I notice, and I believe this connects to addiction, is many kids don't know how to deal with discomforts. Do I talk to my parents about my discomforts? Do I share how to resolve my discomforts? Do I see my parents resolving discomforts? If all I'm doing is going to screens, which takes a lot of the emotions out of the relationship.
Of course.
Well, how do I learn to deal with life on life's terms? Now, it's nice to have Aunt Alexa. We'll call her Aunt Alexa because it's a very cozy relationship. But at the end of the day, am I learning how to be in an emotional relationship? I'm not just talking about with a significant other. I mean with friends, with anybody. Am I learning how to bring the emotions into that relationship? And if I'm not doing that, how much does that affect our children when they grow up and when they start to get into intimacy with somebody or children? How much does that affect him? And the scary thing is this is just getting more and more prevalent.
Yeah, this is going to affect our evolution.
This isn't going away.
No, this is how we're going to start evolving, according to these things. And, you know, like the pediatrician said, you know what's going to happen if you let your kid look at too many screens? And I said, he'll grow up to be a completely normal American adult. But with the bots, it seems like a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, yes, your children can get a lot of information. It can help with their vocabulary, it can help with their intelligence. On the other hand, if you're using a voice bot to communicate information, that's not going to help a child build any kind of healthy personal skill set with relating to other people.
There you go. And you know, it's funny, but as a parent, I get hooked on this stuff too. You know, I'm telling my son, don't text when you're driving, and all of a sudden the phone goes off and I got to throw it in the back because I want to see who's texting. We're all guilty of this, but we can't give our children what we don't have. And I really can't tell my kid, stop smoking if I'm puffing away on a cigarette. It's a tougher message to give to them. And I think parents are getting so addicted to these things. And if parents are addicted to these things, how do we teach our children not to be addicted to these things?
That's what I'm working on in therapy, to actually read a book instead of being on my phone. That's my agenda this week.
Right. I solved it. I read all my books on my phone.
Yeah, I read a great book about that on my phone. It does seem that, I mean, obviously no parent is having their kid be raised completely by a bot. And I don't really understand how anyone would think that this little speaker can babysit your kid. I mean, your kid can talk to it a little bit, ask it information. On a benign level, it's no different than us looking it up in encyclopedias once upon a time that just say, you know, who annexed the Sudetenland? Hitler. Thanks, Alexa.
Yeah.
But it seems that, you know, children are already so dangerously addicted to screens, and the communication and translation does not include the emotions needed to help create healthy communication skills. And that's what concerns me about it.
And it should, because it is the truth. It is not teaching your children, as I said before, to get out of their difficulties. You see ghosting, where you stop emailing, ghosting, you run away. You don't learn how to process the end of a relationship. You don't know how to do these things. Not just a relationship. What about processing discomfort in any area, a job or whatever? Processing these discomforts. This is why... What addiction is not the problem. It's the symptom. The symptom of what I can't do when I can't regulate my discomfort. I need something else to medicate that discomfort, to change that feeling I have inside. This is why you see addictions taking off. You know, it's scary, but the porn industry makes more money than any major league.
I'm trying to cut down. I told you,
Frank. You got to give me a call. Let me know.
The porn industry makes that money, but yeah, it doesn't trickle down to the people actually working in those things. It's the telecoms that are making all the money, as it's always been.
Oh, without a doubt. But there's a lot of people looking at these things.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that I read somewhere where kids first watch porn at the age of 10 or 11. Holy mackerel.
That's a new statistic, because when I was a kid, well, you had to go to a porno store to look at porn.
Well, when I was a kid,
it's pretty scary.
If I wanted to see porn when I was a kid, I had to get a grown up show me a magazine. Now I'm a grown up. If I want to see porn, I have to have a kid tell me what the good sites are. So it's flipped a bit. Now, under the age of 12, I know that children are really refining their language. They're developing their conversation and social skills.
Right.
And that's why it's of such paramount importance that during this time they have, you know, interpersonal communication with parents, humans, and develop these habits. Interaction with bots, or I believe it's called non-emotive responders, might be very pleasant in their tone, but it doesn't give any kind of socialization, give and take. At the same time, how often are kids using these things? I mean, are there problems reported yet? Because while I'm very mindful of the fact that you're not going to develop healthy communication skills, how different is it on a convenience level than just us as kids going to a dictionary or an encyclopedia?
Well, I think what you put out there is so important as a father, that you're curious with your child, you're talking to your child, you know what sites they're on, you know what they're doing. And I think that that's what I try to teach parents. Mm-hmm. Be curious with your children. Know what they're doing. Know who they're talking to. Know what's going on. Take an active interest. What was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? Take an active interest. If you don't do these things, their interest is going to be surrounded by these things.
Well, and also we've talked about this before. Children learn more from what you do and who you are than what you teach them or tell them.
Absolutely.
What you teach a child is a tiny fraction of what the kid learns from you.
That's right.
So if you are relying relying on screens or a voice bot to amuse your child so you can go off and do stuff. I'm sure our parents would have done the same thing if those conveniences had been available.
Absolutely.
But
they were available, though. I mean, this is what people said about television. You know,
yeah, you and I could barely carry on a conversation.
I know. And we did have a generation that probably had more less of an attention span than the previous generation, where it was all about listening to the radio or reading books. But I don't think this is necessarily a new problem.
I don't know. I agree with you. It's a new symptom. Are there psychological effects, though, Thomas? Because on the one hand, I can see why a child would enjoy having a gadget to play with, and it might seem like a reward rather than being abandoned by a parent.
If you look at our state that we're in today in our culture, depression has gone up. I have many, many clients. So many of them have kids that are depressed. I never had this before. I could start groups with just kids that are depressed. Mm-hmm. And so many of them, it's terrible to say, have suicidal thoughts. You know, I can't help but connect this to the whole social media problem, in that these kids today that sit in their room and they obsess with Facebook, they compete with Facebook, they look at social media, it becomes their life.
You don't have to leave the house to make your classmates make you feel like shit now.
That's right. That's right. And what about all the addicts that are gamblers that don't have to leave the house? They can gamble on the computer or pornography or all of these things.
We're putting ourselves into the matrix.
We are. It's true. And what's happening to the kids today, I see there's more and more depression out there. I can't help relate that to digital products. They just become obsessed with digital products. Their identification of who they are or through digital products.
Right. I love when you come here because you make me think about things in different ways, Thomas. And our guest is Thomas Gagliano, and our number is 877-974-7487. How do you feel about kids, not so much with screens, but with Alexa-style voice bots? 877-9-SIRIUS. I looked this up, that recent studies have shown that the human brain can distinguish between what's called physical touch and non-physical emotional touch. Mm-hmm. And they both trigger similar responses mm-hmm. in the brain. Mm-hmm. That the brain is very good at distinguishing a non-physical emotional touch, like a human, mm-hmm. with a bit of finesse in how they speak with you, mm-hmm. with a non-physical, non-emotional one, like a voice bot. Mm-hmm. Just like a massage mm-hmm. chair is not a real massage. Mm-hmm. And having a voice bot teach your child.
I know, never calls or writes.
Exactly. You offer all these tips and they don't give you what you want. So it does seem sort of like the emotions that are communicated by touch go on to influence our intellectual development and shape the behavior we'll have as an adult. What I'm saying is, I guess, can these voice bots make a child dumber on an emotional level?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have physical intimacy and we have emotional intimacy.
And we do?
Well, at least we should.
Well, thanks, Thomas.
Didn't know, but we should.
Yeah.
But, you know, the physical intimacy comes from what kids are doing today is objectifying body parts of people. They're looking at pictures and they're looking at women, at men, all body parts. What do we have on the dating sites? You have to be a certain height, weight. Come on, give me a break here.
But to Frank's point, I mean, that's been going on since the 40s and 50s. But that's nothing new.
I don't think as much. I think mm-hmm. emotional intimacy has been taken away from today. Mm-hmm. Today, do you see, I mean, are there hugging and kissing and soft words and empathy? You don't see that. What
right.
you see
and so much
on the screens is all body parts.
And you see so many restaurants. You walk by the city, you see mom, dad, and the kids all on their own screens waiting for the waiter to come.
Yes, yeah, and right so many... Yeah. So much communication happens through texting. I mean, people don't even make phone calls anymore.
Oh, that's too personal.
Don't even leave,
phone calls too personal.
Phone calls are incredibly rare now. Leaving
no
messages. Actually, leaving a message on an answering machine is a rare thing.
What
now.
Kind of selfish bastard calls me on my phone? That's not what the phone's for. It's
so
true.
Yeah,
I find
it very hard to communicate via I mean, you can communicate via text, but to have a conversation via text is very awkward as far as I'm concerned.
I think he's right, and I do think that who'd ever thought that leaving a message for years, when we were kids, my mom wouldn't get an answering machine message. She thought it was too impersonal. Now, like, I don't even listen to my voicemails. I'm like, who do I have to call back?
That's insane.
So let's get to where it matters. What advice do you give to parents who are aware, who are growing up in the same zeitgeist where these things are really not luxuries anymore, but kind of common items people have to have? I mean, they're like power windows now. How can parents walk the line of letting their children experience and understand this technology, but not forfeiting any more humanity than they need to.
I think what you do is excellent. You have boundaries, and your time management is, I allow my son or daughter to spend a certain amount of time doing these things. And I have to give my child quality time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be quantity, but if I check in every night for a minute, go in the room, hey, what was the best part of your day, the worst part of your day?
Yeah.
What's going on? What'd you do today? Curiosity. And I always say to parents, allow your children to share their feelings. Feelings are not right and wrong. They're not true and false. They're feelings. And if my child does not agree with me, I don't have to say you're wrong. I could say I hear you and acknowledge and validate what they're saying. Allow them to come in and want to talk to you. I see so many times parents and children have separated themselves from communications to the point that there's no talking going on. And like you said, Frank, everything is texting and texting and texting.
Right.
And there's just no verbal communication. And it's for the parent to become curious, to ask the child and validate the feelings. You don't have to say what I want you to say. I want to hear how you feel.
The conversation comes out of you not saying you have to be a certain way. But
that's
you
right.
know what I did when I felt something like that?
Oh,
to
I love
share
it.
Something
that's right.
about yourself.
That's right. Hey, you were bullied in school. You know what? I got bullied. I was afraid.
Yeah.
You know what I did? I had a talk, whatever. Relate to your child. Still be the higher authority. Still be able to tell your child, if you choose to do blank, like not clean your room, you choose not to get your allowance.
Yeah, you have a choice.
You have a choice.
Always have a choice.
But in the meantime, always have the communication with your child so he sees you as a human being. And that's somebody that has to say what they want you, what you want them to say.
Paul is calling from California. Paul, welcome. You're on SiriusXM Insight with author Thomas Gagliano.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Hey, I don't know, you guys were talking about disconnect. Did you know that Alexa can call people and text people?
Yes, but
crazy.
I haven't wanted to learn that, but I know it can do that. I'm just, I'm waiting before I let Hal take over the entire ship.
I don't want that.
So, anyways, there's a pro side, which it does help with my business, because my assistant can say, hey, we need this on the Alexa, we need this for the office.
No doubt.
So that, and it shows up on my phone. But I can understand the point about people getting disconnected. I totally agree there.
Yeah, I completely agree with you as well. I got a text about that right now. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. Thomas, there's some people hearing this who are going to say, oh my God, my kid's 10 or 11, not a toddler. I've let it go too far. My kid's married to this screen and I sit around worrying about it. How do I stop worrying and feeling bad and beating myself up for it? And how do I begin addressing this? Because you are an addiction specialist and this is addiction. This is dopamine releasing in the brain.
You got it. You got it. I tell parents all the time, if you're teaching your kids when they're discomforted or they have problems in life to go on a video game and just disassociate, get them a bottle of scotch. It's the same
Seriously.
Thing.
Yeah.
All right. So
they'll be an incel hating women in no time.
Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, nobody, hating yourself never helps anything in life. If I hate myself, it then inhibits me from being the best parent I can. So instead of looking at what you didn't do right, forgive yourself and look at what you could do now. Opportunity. And that is, start to structure yourself around giving your child some of the things I said. Curiosity, talking to your child, discussing best part, worst part of their day.
Right.
You could get this back. But don't beat yourself up on what you didn't do.
You
that
have to go
help.
Back and you have to take the time to literally create those new neural pathways in the kid's brain where time that was spent just zoning out to a machine can be spent connecting with you
100%.
And other people in the family. Brent in Ohio, welcome. You're on with Thomas Gagliano.
Hey, John. Thomas. So
Hi.
Here's kind of my thought is, I think maybe we're being a little overly emotional about this. I mean, in history, there have been hundreds of things where the generation that is raising children say, oh, they're doing too much of whatever, being on a home computer, video game, you know,
TV,
going on.
Walkmans.
And those people, TV, magazines, newspaper articles, education.
Books.
You know, in some communities.
Mm-hmm.
Books, right. I mean, so aren't we, isn't my child going to grow up and the world will simply just be different 60 years from now, and those talents won't be necessary? Like, Thomas, I don't know how to shoe a horse.
It's a great question.
My grandfather did.
Great question.
It's a great question. I'll tell you something about childhood and egocentricity, all children. Every child out there has to feel that they're important to their parents. Every child out there has to feel like they matter to their parents. And no matter what you do other than that, that will come back to haunt you. Developing a sense of self where the child feels that they matter, that they're important. You know, hey, Joe, how you doing today? What went on with your day today? Hey, Shirley, you know, I saw you were upset. You want to talk about that? There is nothing that's going to fit that bill. There's nothing that's going to make that, fill that void. So all of the things that you're talking about, and you're very right, and it's true. There's nothing like the nurturing a child needs early on to feel like they're important. That message is going to carry on throughout their lives. And I wonder how many people get nurtured in the wrong way through all of the things that you're saying that eventually pick up addiction, either acting out with addiction or acting in with depression and isolation. I see this all the time.
Yeah.
Nothing substitutes for a parent letting the child know that they're truly important.
Brent, I'm with you. I mean, every generation is terrified. Kids these days is going to fry your brains with this TV, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's always a virtue in making yourself more available to your kid and letting your kid need the distractions ever less. So, I mean, to some degree, yeah, your kid is going to grow up and be part of this zeitgeist, and it looks like we're all going to be attached to screens as this species evolves forward, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to help your kid have balance now and not get sucked into this two-dimensional world sooner than they have to full-time. But great points, and I thank you, and hopefully we're all just freaking out.
Frequently, young people say that they wish that they would have had boundaries, firmer boundaries, you know, someone's just supervising them more, and I think that's around these devices and the bots. I personally think that physically it's going to affect us because I sit on the train and everybody is hunched over a screen.
The best part is that while Thomas is talking about kids being addicted to screens, his daughter is sitting here filming him on her screen, staring at it intensely. So it's a circle
of
life.
That's my girl.
You're very lucky. Well, Thomas, every time you come in, I enjoy every appearance you do. How can our listeners learn more about your work and follow you?
Well, they can go to my website, theproblemwasme.com, and they can leave any messages on there, which is after my book, The Problem Was Me, and my other book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. And I am going to start some podcasts in September.
Finally.
Talking about a lot of good stuff.
Brilliant.
Hopefully getting it out there and helping some parents.
We got to run. We'll take your calls after the break. This is a Lisa Loeb song that got a little bit of airplay 24 years ago. This is Insight.